Do you feel loved? Do you feel loved? You can ask yourself if you feel loved, and I hope you do. Of course, one of the very best things about the Christmas season, isn't it, is the visiting. Someone said that Christmas is the time of the year where you see friends and relatives you haven't seen all year and then realise why. But I hope it's not quite like that for you. I hope it is more that actually the visiting is part of the love for family and friends. And similarly with the present giving. Not just a token, we hope, not just something rushed out this afternoon maybe to complete the Christmas shopping, but something that had a real value behind it and giving and loved. But of course, I hope and pray that is all for you today, this weekend, to tomorrow. But of course, Christmas can also be a lonely, hard time for those who are literally alone, but also for many where circumstance can just bring a sense of isolation and a sense of struggling on your own. I think tonight of those who are critically ill, and in our prayers we'll be praying for two people who this night are critically ill, both fairly young people, and those who wait on them too, and those whose treatment for illness means that they have to stay in hospital. Again, we'll be remembering one of our members tonight who will be in hospital receiving ongoing chemotherapy. Those who are bereaved, of course, can feel alone, that love has gone. The man I know this year who was sentenced to prison and will be spending his first Christmas in prison tonight. And I think of my dad at 97 spending his first Christmas in a care home. And so it can be hard and can be, especially in Christmas, can emphasise it all, can it not, the sense of being on your own. But I pray that even in the hard circumstances, each person, each of us will know we are supremely loved. This is the message of Christmas, whatever our circumstance is. That letter to Titus, the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared. He saved us not because of righteous things we'd done. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything, not for anything you've done, but because of his mercy. He loves you and came in Christ in his love. So we celebrate tonight that we are loved. We are of immeasurable worth. Again, not because of anything we can do or can achieve, but simply because you are precious to God. In the words of Christina Rossetti's classic poem, love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. We will go on in a moment to see if we are loved by God, and we are, then how do we respond to that? How do we respond in our relationship with other people? And that, I would suggest, will bring us back to God. But think a bit more about this resonance that you are loved. I hope it does feel true, indeed, whatever those circumstances are. We've been thinking over this Christmas Eve and at the carol service last week, what do you believe about the Christmas story? A virgin birth, angels, God born as man, living incarnate amongst us, all these propositions of things of Christian faith, and they are all there in our statements, in our creeds, and so on. But actually, is it not the case that the real resonance of faith comes deep within ourselves, in the emotional self, the response we feel? All of this is the topic of a very good book I can recommend to you by Francis Spufford. He's a writer and novelist. He wrote this book, Unapologetic, Why Despite Everything, Christianity Can Still Make Surprising Emotional Sense. The title is almost as long as the book. And in that book, he talks about how he was an atheist for 20 years. I think he was probably brought up in Christian faith, but he lost it and was an atheist. And then he realised that actually his emotional life and who he was just was not working, and he needed God. And he says for him, it's not the propositions of Christian faith, virgin birth, God incarnate, that actually draw him into faith. It is the emotion, the feeling, the response. And then he realises he can believe the virgin birth, the God incarnate, and so on. He says he experiences all the time the truth of Christian faith, even though it's not actually spelt out that that is what Christian faith is experiencing. He says, and I think he messed up his life quite badly, probably with a divorce and so on, he says he found reality to be, in some ultimate sense, merciful. He feels that it is mercy there, that when he does mess up, there is forgiveness. And when he's silent, he said he realised he's not on his own. In the silence of a place, in a room, he realises he's not on his own. Someone, not something, is here. And he said that something, that someone, seems to know him through and through. He feels sustained and strengthened. There is always hope. He feels loved. And he said that that experience led him to conclude that the universe is sustained by a continual and infinitely patient act of love. I think that love keeps it going. Just in experience, just in daily experience, that sense that there is this loving force behind our existence. I hope this resonates with you. Of course, awful things happen in the universe, in this world, sometimes in our own lives. We've seen again this year awful terrorist attacks in Manchester and London and the utterly shaming horror of the Grenfell Tower fire. So much turbulence and suffering around the world. And yet, surely, hopefully, you do experience that there is hope. Goodness works through in every circumstance. Actually, the universe is sustained by a continual and infinitely patient act of love. Surely our daily experience tells us that we are not the random meaningless accidents of atheism. Our experience tells us that there is meaning, there is purpose, we are loved because God loves us. And when we sense and know our experience, then hear how the Christian faith tells us why that is the case. The Christian faith rings out again and again. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. God is love, 1 John 4:16. And those words from Titus, the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared. So may you know again this Christmas night from your experience, but also then from the Christian faith, that you are precious, you are supremely loved, you are loved with mercy and forgiveness. When you, and like all of us will in this life, foul things up, you can yet receive God's love and love yourself. On at least two occasions this year, I've been with different men in pastoral situations, and they were people who, in a sense, had messed up their lives. And I just looked them in the eye and said, you are loved. God loves you. And in each case, their eyes filled with tears as they were moved to that realization that whatever's happened in their life, they are loved, they are precious. So we don't have to listen to the lies and pressures around us. We can challenge the negatives that so many of us carry around with us. You can see yourself as God sees you, with love. And then when you can do that, you can get on with loving other people. You can be free to love others as God loves you. The spiritual writer Robert Wicks says, one of the greatest gifts we can offer ourselves or for others is a sense of our own peace. A sense of our own peace. Because if we are knowing we're loved, then we can be free in peace to share love with other people. We will know that for our families, that is the vital thing. It's not the plush house. It's not the high income. It is the love. And we're free to give that love. We will know that in our work, it's not progressing up the career ladder. It's utterly pointless if we do not love. And we will know in our church community that love is preeminent. It's not about styles of worship or pews and chairs. It's not about church politics. They're all irrelevant. We will realize against the need to love. And such love we will carry on wanting to work through in practice. We will, yes, want to be a better person in 2018 than we were in 2017. Because we can. Once we know God's love in our life, then we are free to be the people he calls us to be, people who can love. We won't grumble. I will try not to grumble next year. I will try to grow out of it. I will not take people for granted. I don't want to take people for granted. I would rather be a person of thanks and praise. We will determine not to be irritable, angry, strident, but we will seek to be people of gentleness and patience. We will seek not to be critical, as so much of our default mechanisms can be, to be critical. Instead, we will want to encourage. We will not be apathetic. We will not say, well, other people are living their own life of comfort and then we will do the same. No, we will know we've been met by the love of God. We're at peace with ourselves. We can love others and we can be engaged in God's world. For his love is to permeate all of our relationships with our spouses, our children, our work colleagues, our church members. All of it is to be pervaded by God's love. And of course, that love spills over beyond our borders, beyond our comfort zones, to the poor and disadvantaged, Jesus said our lives have to be marked. Our lives will be measured by how much we fed the hungry, brought water to the thirsty, gave hospitality to the stranger, clothed the poor, tended the sick, supported the oppressed. Because once we've received God's love, then we have eyes to see those people in need in that way. And we all want to respond in God's love to other people. All of this, of course, is God's great plan, message, to bring us back into his likeness, into Christ-like love. The God who, in being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. This is the God that brings us back to the propositions of Christian faith that we celebrate tonight. God did come and gave up himself, born in the vulnerability of a stable, and lived that life of service, dying the ugly, horrible, despicable death on the cross, a life of love and service. And that is where we are called in God, receiving God's love in our own way. Will we get it right? Will we actually be better in 2018? Yes, you can. We will be. You can be better, but you will not get it all right. You'll continue to mess things up. You'll continue to be that irritable, criticizing, critical person, because it's always going back to receiving more of God's love. I know for myself, I fail. I fail with my family. I fail with our church members, especially when I'm stressed and when they irritate me, which is, of course, not very often at all. And let alone the call for generous commitment to the poor and oppressed. I know my life is a million miles away from that. And yet, 2018, perhaps a bit more, receiving God's love, going back when we foul it up, and receiving his love, and knowing that he carries on loving us, whatever, who we are, whatever we do. So this Christmas night, it does demand response, of course it does. We're invited to believe the propositions of Christmas, to believe the facts and doctrines. God became man, born in naked, utter vulnerability in a stable, to Mary, who conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Christmas story demands that we think about that and respond with our mind, with our intellect. But much more than that, the Christmas story calls us to respond deep to what we can recognise from our daily experience in our lives day by day, of just knowing that we are loved and then turning to the source of love, which is God himself. May this be the Christmas where we do realise our utter love from God and then be freed to love others. Amen.